Support the podcast on Patreon by joining the It's All Cobblers to Me fan club. Every month, you'll receive access to exclusive bonus content, such as our Meet the Staff series, hear our player interviews before anyone else, and be invited to regular meetups. By joining the fan club, you'll be helping us to continue our sponsorship of NTFC women's player Abby Bruin and enable us to keep the podcast and all our other content going to the high standards you expect. To join the fan club, go to patreon.com/cobblers2me. So, Dave, I guess that's what you call something special.
Rain again, and he's got it!
Gavin was closing in. Oh, Gavin has scored!
Abdul Osman against Brad Jones to put Liverpool out of the cup, and Northampton 3!
Yeah!
Northampton have
got it!
Hello, coming up on this week's It's All Cobblers to Me, the Cobblers turn on the style to beat the Railway Men of Crewe 4-1, Ian White asks us to ponder this January's transfer business, and Grimsby come to town. I'm Charles, and I'm joined by my friends Chessy, Danny and Neil. Hello everyone, you okay?
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Have we all recovered from the weekend?
Just about.
Anything particular happened this weekend?
No, it was pretty quiet, mate. Oh, lovely. Oh, what a treat. What's that? The new run-out song at Sixfields?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it's replacing the Liquidator. Congratulations, mate. Lovely wedding. Well done to you.
Very kind. Thank you.
It was a lovely day. Sorry that Chessy wasn't invited, but you know, things. Did you enjoy your day, mate? Was it all good for you?
It was splendid, yes. Very good day, thank you. Well, obviously made better by the Cobblers.
Indeed. It certainly made your speech better, didn't it?
It made my speech work. Otherwise, I was in trouble.
I did quite enjoy the fact that basically the second line of Neil's speech was to ask everybody to stand to celebrate the real reason that we were there today, Cobblers beating Crewe 4-1. I applauded.
The three Cobblers fans in the room appreciated it.
Yeah, all three of us went mad.
Yeah. I'm Chris Wilder,
and it's all Cobblers to me.
One of the best ways of helping the podcast is through rating and reviewing the podcast on your podcast app. Every review helps more people find It's All Cobblers to Me. And of course, if it's nice, will entice people to listen. So once you've listened to today's episode, open up iTunes or your preferred podcast app and leave us a comment. Thanks to Nick P1975, who did just that.
Following the Cobblers is in the main a series of crushing setbacks and disappointments. This podcast is essentially every NTFC fan's frustrated post-match conversation / counselling session down the pub without having to go to the pub.
The Cobblers went into the game against Crewe in decent form and hoped to once again put their former defender Dave Artell in his place. 90 minutes and a 4-1 victory later, the Cobblers moved into the last playoff spot in League Two. So before we talk about the game then, folks, I have one question for you. Will David Artell ever learn?
No, don't be stupid. He'll never learn.
What do you think happened to make him disappear? Because I never see him in the press saying anything about any other team. It's always when he plays us.
I'd like to know his opinions on Forest Green Rovers, for one.
Look, let's be honest. In researching for this podcast, which I actually do, unlike some of you, I do go back and look at the news and sort of have a look and see. And I don't see anything controversial that can come back and bite him on the bum nearly as much as I do when he faces up to the Cobblers.
I think it's that he genuinely sees us as a decent team at this level, and he's trying to win a psychological battle and land a psychological blow. And so far, he's not learned, has he? And every time it's backfired.
It is, though. It's every time. Bobbly pitch, roughhouse tactics, and now it will take something special for us to be beaten, I think he said, something like that.
Obviously, hadn't met Verdane Oliver yet.
Or Alan McCormack, Verdane, for that matter, either.
Or the animal. He wasn't prepared for the animal, was he?
No.
Can we just take a moment just to appreciate the picture of Alan McCormack and the rest of the squad at Trapped last week? Him in a lab coat.
Oh, he looked incredible, didn't he?
It was just ridiculous.
It was right up his alley, wasn't it?
Just one of those. I mean, it's kind of like you take him into an escape room, he gets out, and then he goes in and makes two really massive tackles in the space of 2 seconds on the pitch in the next game. I mean, that was a thing of beauty, wasn't it?
You honestly, you could not describe it if you tried. When we were, I think everyone just kind of stood in disbelief when it happened, because he was literally laying on the floor at one point, then still managed to get it away, and then got up and got to the ball quicker than what the crew players did. And we kind of just looked at each other like, what is going on? But he, but that just summed him up for the whole game. He was literally a man on a mission on Saturday, and there was no one or nothing that was going to stop him. And actually as well, he stayed on the pitch a lot longer than he normally does. And I think because he just was in the game and he just knew what he wanted to do and was going to do it.
Is that maybe more down to the fact that this whole kind of coming back from injury pathway that Curl has, maybe, you know, he's been being substituted at around about 60 minutes. Maybe he's now had that little bit of time. So now he can come off at around about 75.
No. You don't take him off. It would be like dragging a lion away from its meal, wouldn't it? He was just having such a lovely time. You don't mess with that. But when did you see him give? I think it was Perry NG actually who he gave a wave to when he came off.
Absolutely,
he must have been winding him up the whole game, but he just turned around and gave a little wave. So see you next time, Perry.
Do love a good bit of banter towards Perry NG, don't you, Neil?
Who?
Perry NG. He's your favourite crew player.
No, not anymore.
Not anymore? Are you done with him?
No, done with him. Not since Daniel Powell's gone there.
Oh, new face. Did Daniel Powell actually come off the bench for them?
Yeah, he did. For about 10 minutes. He didn't do anything. But then, to be fair, the game was done by then.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, to be fair, he never did anything for us either. But, you know, never mind.
No, I'm not that mean.
So going back...
You lot are, but I'm not.
So going back to what Dave Artell said before the game, his full quote was, it will take something special or something different to beat us. So, Danny, which were we?
We were both special and different.
Good answer. He didn't like it, did he, really? And our friends from the Crew Alex fancast as well caused a bit of a stir on the day with some of their tweets.
They did. It's all about their styles, wasn't it? And to be fair to them, they have got a good style about them. But it was just hilarious how we went 3-0 up. It was like, you know that Christmas song, Fairy Tale in New York?
Of course.
We all know it, right? Yeah. So it's got like the beautiful vocals of, you know.
I don't.
You knew you were falling into a trap, Google don't it. You, Danny?
Yeah, Danny, I did. Can you just sing it to remind me, please? I can't remember it.
Which part do you want me to play?
No, I want you to sing all of it, please.
I'll release it on YouTube later.
Cannot wait.
Where was I going with that? You got the beautiful vocals of Kirsten McColl, like pristine, you know, perfect voice. And then you've got the roughhouse drunk warblings from the guy from the Pogues. That kind of reminded me of what this game was like in the first half an hour.
Are you trying to suggest that Keith Curl's team are the drunk?
They're the Pogues version of League Two, Charles, that's what I'm saying. And they won the day.
I don't think we can say anything better than that, can we?
You more than likely can.
There were some great goals, though, which I know that we've all seen. I mean, myself and Neil watched them live on the wedding dance floor.
It was quite the moment.
It was, wasn't it?
What song was on when you were watching it? I'd like to know the backdrop of...
I think it was Scott Here Comes Wharton. The Hot Stepper.
Just as Scott Wharton scrambles the ball in.
Murderer.
To be fair, there were two delightful goals and two fairly scruffy ones, weren't there, guys? I mean, the first one especially was, well, I would say it's maybe more Crew's failure to clear the ball than our guile of getting it in the net.
Yeah, agreed. It was awful defending, wasn't it?
It was terrible. I mean, just put your foot through it and clear it, surely. It
wasn't even defended, really.
I think they wanted to pass the ball out from the back. That's what was going on.
That's the thing, isn't it, with the Crew. Like, I saw loads of tweets Sunday when I eventually got round to checking my phone and catching up with everything. I saw loads of tweets from Crew fans saying how they'd hate to watch Northampton and, oh, it's just typical standard League Two tactics and stuff. And it's like, hold on a minute. If you want to get promoted, you need to be able to play against all sorts of sides. You can't just expect teams. If you're a nice, attractive footballing team, you can't expect an opposition to necessarily play the same way. And you've got to be able to beat them and you've got to be able to face up to them. And they couldn't do that. They weren't good enough.
I think as well on Saturday, the one big difference between us and Crewe, quite unbelievably actually, is that we were quite clinical. We didn't get many chances at all. Like Danny said, he couldn't believe that we were 3-0 up. Well, nor could I. We literally had the three chances in those first 23-24 minutes and we went 3-0 up. It was literally that clear cut. And I think they had a couple of other opportunities and we defended quite well, but equally they were quite poor in front of goal. And actually we did what we needed to do. And I think Keith Curl set up that game for us to just be clinical and know exactly what to do in front of goal and let the rest just take its course, because we knew we weren't going to be able to outplay them. We just had to be clinical in front of goal when we got an opportunity, which shouldn't have been very often. And to be honest, it wasn't. It was just the fact that we knew what we needed to do when we were there, which is really rare actually for our squad, and I was very, very impressed.
So which of the two goals that were really quite decent was your favourite, Danny? Was it Scott Wharton's marvellous free kick routine that Man City would be proud of, or was it Andy Williams' Gabbiadini-esque chip?
It was the chip. I'm more of a chip person myself, Charles. I enjoyed Wharton's goal, but that Williams chip was just sublime. And like you say, it was absolutely Gabbiadini-esque.
What was better, Neil? Was it the goal, the chip, or was it Paul Ando's celebration of a two-footed lunge in front of the North Stand?
There was so much going on in that celebration, wasn't there, when, after that chip?
It was.
Obviously, the lovely chip by Williams, and then Anderson launching himself two-footed at some sort of advertising poster thing on the floor, and then Andy Williams bowling a cricket ball. I don't know, when I watched it back, I was like, I've no idea what's happened.
Yeah, it was very much like, where do I look?
Yeah.
That was the one that killed it, though, I think, from in the game. We were, even at that 3-1, you could tell everyone around us, and some of the Chronicle people as well were saying this game's far from over, and I pretty much agreed with that. But when that fourth goal went in, I think Crewe's game plan just went completely out the window, and they just seemed a little bit more dishevelled, and bringing Powell on is probably not going to help. But they just looked completely out of their game plan, and it seemed fairly comfortable at 4-1. It was just that moment that killed it for them, I think.
But nobody in the stand actually believed it until about 83, 84 minutes, I don't think. And we were all looking at each other like, oh, are we going to hold on to this? Are we going to hold on to this? Everybody. And I can pinpoint the moment as well. The North Stand started singing and everyone kind of started to join in, but a little bit tentatively. We were like, should we be doing this, or is this too early? And you've only got about 7 minutes left, but we were like, do we do it? Do we not? Like, have we done it? It was weird.
There was definitely nervousness about the stand, weren't they, still, even though we're 3 goals to the good. It's just that we don't seem to still trust Curl and trust the team as much as we could do, and as we have in previous years when we've gone up and stuff. We still haven't got that to that point yet. But like I said, it was only with about 5 minutes left when people actually thought, yeah, we can actually start singing now. And that plays a lot into the atmosphere. But now, as time goes on, that'll come a little bit earlier, hopefully, and start to get going from the start rather than when we 4-1 up.
And a word for Sam Hoskins, another penalty scored.
It's one word.
Just.
What a goal. Amazing. And did the way he did that cartwheel in the run-up to the penalty was...
Well, Verdane Oliver followed up his FA Cup performance with a man-of-the-match display. Out of all the summer signings, Neil, is he turning into a favourite?
I think he needs a few more games under his belt before he could go that far. I think out of all the summer signings, I think the person that's the favourite definitely is McCormack, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, that's definitely an obvious choice, I would say. But, you know, if we're going to be brutally honest, Verdane was probably the last sort of sign. You know, if you were sort of thinking to yourself, right, rank all the 14 signings in order, Verdane would be pretty much near the bottom. Whereas actually now he's leaning more towards maybe the sort of top sort of 3 or 4.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I didn't see him on Saturday, obviously, but he got man of the match, didn't he? So maybe Danny and Chessie can enlighten us as to why he earned man of the match.
He just worked so hard. He just didn't stop running and he didn't stop chasing the ball. And that's what you want to see. And you could see as well the effort that was going in. And everybody in the ground really appreciated the fact that he was working his absolute socks off. But equally as well, a man of the match could have gone to 5, 6, 7 players on Saturday because they all worked really hard. But him in particular, he really did work hard and he was really showing that he wanted to be involved and wanted to get that goal. He didn't get it, but you could see that he really wanted it and he really wanted to give it a good go.
he's not going to be that player that's going to score 20 goals a season, but he, the way he takes players out of the game, doesn't he? He just occupies defenders so that Williams and the light can run in behind him. And he did for that goal. I don't think he even touched it in the build-up to the fourth goal, did he? He just kind of was a nuisance and just put himself about. And Cobblers fans appreciate that. We've always leaned towards the people that put in an effort and just run and run and run, apart from Sam Hoskins, who people don't seem to still get on board with. And it was just that thing of just watching him put in so much effort that people warm to, and they will. It's arguably that he would be a starter now, and you'd put him on the team sheet for next week based on what he did this week. I know Carl said there's no automatic choices and stuff, but he's starting to play a really important role with it. It's not necessarily scoring goals, it's just the way he is and his presence.
So that result did lift us into seventh place inside that illustrious playoff zone. Whoa. Now, obviously, there are a few teams there with one or maybe even two games in hand over us. But how far can we go now, do you think, guys? Do you think this might be it, the catalyst? We've got into the top seven, or are you maybe a little bit worried that Cheltenham will happen again?
I'm apprehensive about us going up into seventh because it's that argument again, isn't it, that we could just unravel and fall apart and the wheels could come completely off. But equally as well, I think because we are feeling a little bit more positive and because we've got these 5 out of 6 games under our belt and we seem to have relaxed a little bit as a fan base, that does have an impact on the players. And you can see that the players are enjoying what they do. And I think we just need to take it step by step now and just take each bit of the season as it goes. But I think what's really crucial in the next 6 weeks is to have a good run up towards Christmas and then really, really storm this Christmas fixtures, because we need to be there in January. Because if you're there in January, you've got a shot. If you're not, you might as well forget it.
There was it Man at CNA who put the record up from last year, wasn't it? There was the same period of games last year that we'd got exactly the same number of points for. We'd won 4, drew 1 and lost 1. And it was just after that that we crashed and burned and just went completely to pot. So it is about keeping it up. But I think I trust in this squad a lot more than I did last year. Sorry, by Ash, by the way. Just there's so many more, so many more leaders. There's so many more people who are going to fight for it and battle and lead the team and just kind of get the fans on board, I think. And I trust them to get a result against anyone in this league on their day. And I didn't really see that last year. And the league itself as well is just completely open this season as well, that you can see us turning up and beating anyone. And in previous seasons, it's not been the case. So I do think it's a little bit different. And hopefully we do just get to January. And at that point, you know, who knows what can happen. You can start to sell the club again in January to people who want to come and make themselves a hero and want to go up. And whereas in 14th place, you couldn't really do that. And who knows? Like Jesse said, if we're up there and up in the top seven by that point, there's no reason why we can't push on and maybe even go for the top three.
Neil, if we go back a few weeks, you were quite critical. And okay, you're not alone in this. I think all of us were. But you were quite critical about Keith Curl, and you were questioning whether he was going to last much longer. Are you feeling a bit more positive about him now as being our gaffer?
No.
Oh. is that your genuine answer?
Do you want Dave Attell, Bill?
I mean, yeah, the results are more positive, aren't they? And things are going in the right direction. Interestingly, I was talking to someone about this at the wedding, who is also a Cobblers fan, and we were saying it's still quite difficult at the moment to feel the Keith Curl love. And I don't know why that is. Maybe it's sometimes the style, maybe it's just taking a bit longer, I don't know, but that's just how I feel. But you can't argue with the results, and I think clearly myself and those that were calling for him to be sacked and removed were wrong. So it's not the first time supporters will be wrong, and certainly won't be the last, will it? But I think at the moment results are strong and he seems to be getting the best out of the players at the moment, so you can only respect that. But I don't know what it is. I do find it a little bit difficult to be fully on board with Keith Curl, and I don't know why that is. I'm sure it will come. I hope it will come.
At the end of the day, eventually he'll leave the club. And statistics say that he will be sacked rather than move on of his own accord, whether that's through getting a better job at a bigger club elsewhere or just through deciding to give up the day job kind of thing. But there will come a point, essentially, Neil, when you'll be right and you'll be able to say, I told you so.
3 years down the line when we're in the championship. I told you he was no good.
I don't know, actually, because I know we've had
a few different discussion points for the postbag, and I know we're going to come on to that in a minute, but one of them I thought was quite interesting, because one of them, I can't remember who it was, but somebody was asking us whether they think Keith Curl will still be here next year if we're successful and stuff. And I actually think with Keith Curl, he's not the sort of manager that is going to get poached. Whereas in the past, when Calderwood took us up, he was primed for poaching, wasn't he? And when Wilder took us up, obviously he was primed for poaching and stuff. But actually, Keith Curls, I think he's a bit of the opposite of that. So yeah, I think he'll be here for a while.
Yeah, I know what you mean by that.
Providing results stay the same.
It's a strange thing to be thinking about, I think, to be honest. The obvious answer is that, well, he'll get a new contract if he's successful. And if he's not, it'll be let go. But then the age-old question that my dad always decides to ask every time I get fed up with a manager and say, that's it, I'm done with him. My dad always turns around and goes, okay then, smart ass, who are you going to replace him with? Who's coming in? And I'm with you a little bit, Neil, where it's that thing of, that's not my job. That's not my decision to make. But,
exactly.
You know, it is a fairly good point to make. You know, who is going to come in that's better?
It's a rubbish point. It's a rubbish argument. It is. I'm sorry, Charles's dad. It is a rubbish argument, though.
It's a rubbish argument, aren't they?
But that doesn't mean, I think Keith Curl's not in any danger of that at the moment, is he? So we're all right at the minute.
One thing that Curl is doing, the substitutions have gone a lot less baffling now. And it's obviously easier when you're winning, but he seemed to be panicking in the early days of the season when just making these ridiculous substitutions that people just couldn't see what he was doing. But everyone seemed to make a bit of sense on Saturday. And for the first time, actually, I think I've seen for a long time, all three people coming off were given a standing ovation. I don't think that's happened for a really long time.
What were the subs on Saturday, sorry?
So he brought off Verdane off for Smith.
Yeah.
And it's fair to say Smith's effort didn't quite match the Oliver effort.
He's not the same player, though.
He's not the same. They're very different people, Charles.
Very different.
Well, they're also different. Very different styles of football, is what I was trying to say.
So different.
I do think that Keith Curl actually, he brought him on though on Saturday for that exact point, because we knew that at the point, I think we were 4-1 up at the time. We were under a bit of pressure, but we were managing the game really, really well. But I think what Keith Curl knew is that we weren't going to get a goal through playing it on the floor, because Crew were trying and trying and trying to push up their end. So it was just a case of lump it forward and grab a goal if we can. And actually, that substitution was really effective, because, okay, we didn't score, but what it meant was that they couldn't cope when we lumped the ball up forward. They didn't know what to do. And we did have a couple of opportunities to carve them open. Obviously, we didn't in the end, but it did mean that it relieved the pressure at the other end of the pitch. So it was effective.
Who else was it? Came off. Anderson came off, didn't he? I thought he did really well as well. And I thought he had a really good game.
He did really well.
Great celebration
for not scoring. Was it Pollock who came on for him?
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Because he got booked, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, and who else was? Animal came off eventually. That's when he did his little wave. Came on for him.
Billy Waters?
Can't remember. No.
No, it wasn't Billy Waters. I can't remember who it was.
Yes, that was it.
Knew it. Just a short
Ian Hendon. Do we know there's people listening to this actually screaming at the pod saying.
It was only 89th minute, so it was Bagel.
Oh, Matty Bagel. How did he do?
He only had 5 minutes of injury time, and three of them were spent looking after two players who'd knocked each other out.
He's such a caring guy.
I'm not even joking.
Yeah. Hey, school teacher, what do you expect?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Okay, well, coming up later, we'll preview this weekend's game against Grimsby and hear from Chris Kirk about why Michael Jolly's sacking from Grimsby may not have been all that it may seem. Before that, though, let's take a trip into Neil's wedding postbag.
Ooh.
Neil.
That was like the second goal at the weekend. There's just so much to listen to. The fourth goal, sorry.
That mixing ability just makes me think Charles should be a DJ.
You're so welcome. And also, right, moving on then, Neil, what's in the post bag this week?
So in this week's post bag, there's been a lot of congratulations for both the Cobblers and me. So thank you very much. Craig Abbott, old Abzi, sent in one of my favourites. Love that. It's well worth it for the double celebration. Enjoy the day and may the booze flow like our attack did today. That doesn't make any sense, Charles. You've written this and it doesn't make sense.
I don't know what you're talking about. You chose it.
Was he talking about the cake or the video from the club? One of the two, maybe.
He's obviously referencing the video that some of the players sent for my wedding day, which was very kind of them, I must say. Very nice.
Who was your favourite player out of the video montage?
Who did we have? We had David Cornell.
Yeah, he was up first, yeah.
Steve Arnold
was in there, yes.
Nicky Adams
was second.
Harriman.
Yeah. And Harriman.
Yeah, Harriman rounded it off well, I thought, for the best. Did,
although about five people tweeted me saying, "Was that you at the end?" Just wishing myself a happy wedding day.
Happy wedding day to me!
I would have loved it if you disappeared at the end.
just pop it, hello. I appreciate all of them and like all of them equally as much.
Was there anyone that you wish had been on the video?
Clearly the turn dog.
I did actually think to myself that they've missed out your favourite player.
McCormack would have been incredible. I'll imagine he'd have rapped it or something.
or just barked it.
Yeah.
You will have a good wedding day.
Smash the camera.
Right, anyway, enough about my wedding day. We've got a question for us debate. Yeah, and it's from Ian White from Milton Keynes. Also, you can see Ian Wright on I'm a Celebrity as well. But this is Ian White, not Ian Wright. Hi, guys. Love the podcast. Now we are hitting a bit of form. Where do you think we need to strengthen in the January window? Danny.
Oh, did he ask me that direct?
No, I've put it on you.
Okay. I would worry a little bit about injuries, so especially in the back three. I think he's got a solid back three now, and you don't really want to be bringing Harriman in to it, bless him. We need a little, because I don't think he's the best fullback in League Two.
Sorry, bless I couldn't you. Mute it quicker than
Incredible. Could we get Joe Bunny back to play centre back?
We could.
Is he still on loan or did we sell him?
We sold him, didn't we?
I hope so. Did sell him. Yeah.
I think you're right.
I think we did, yeah, thankfully.
Plus he's also like broken, isn't he?
Is he?
He is.
Oh, yeah, he had that massive car crash, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, God, yeah, RIP.
He's not dead, Neil.
He's dead to me, Charles.
I think we need a centre-back.
Who would you suggest we get, Danny?
You've just said that about the manager, don't ask who.
Yeah, I know, but players is easier, isn't it? There's loads of them around.
Yeah. Perry NG.
there's a guy in Scotland that needs some game time.
Is there?
I think he plays for Aberdeen. Well, he doesn't technically get in the team, but... Yeah.
Bye, Ash. I just think we need a little... I don't think we particularly need starters. No, it's just more of a backup. Because I'm a little bit worried about injuries. So I think as the centre-back, another animal. Effie Sodgy, yeah, we'll have him. I'd like a nippy striker to come on and stretch games a little bit. That's what I'd like.
Scott McGlaith.
What, like Sam Hoskins?
Like Sam Hoskins.
Eric Sabin.
I mean, if we got Eric Sabin... I don't know what I'd do with myself.
Well, I do, and I don't want to talk about it. So you fancy...
So Effie Sodgy, Eric
you
Sabin.
You fancy a centre-back and a striker.
Yes.
What about you, Chester?
Potentially another animal in there as a, like, a apprentice animal that can just learn alongside... An apprentice animal. You can just learn alongside the animal himself.
Haven't we got an apprentice animal? Isn't that Sean McWilliams?
Sean McWilliams, yeah.
Oh, I don't know. He's not animal enough for me.
Oh, no, he's still got to learn the animal traits.
Is he just going to come back with a shaved head, do you think, when he comes back from injury?
Is he injured?
Had his appendix out, didn't he?
Had his appendix.
Oh, of course he did, yeah. That's not an injury. I mean, that's an illness.
Alan McCormack told him to just rip it out himself.
Any more on the January transfer window?
I think we need another striker. We need an out-and-out goal scorer just to get that last few games, if you get... a good run and you get 10 games and you get a striker that can poke in 8-9 goals in that time. We need somebody like that because goal difference is going to play a huge part, especially for up there at the end of the season. That could be the difference between getting in the playoffs or getting an automatic space.
Isn't Andy Williams an out-and-out goal scorer?
I know. I think we need another one, though.
Yeah. Because Harry greedy bastard.
Because Harry Smith isn't an out-and-out goal scorer, is he?
Well, he's not playing often enough, to be fair.
No, I agree with Jeffrey.
No, but I don't think even if he played, he would. I don't think even if he played 90 minutes, he would be, Charles. I really don't think he would be. I think we need somebody who just knows where the goal is, which sounds ridiculous, but knows where the goals is and just knows what to do and just got an experience about them and just goes for it and gets a decent amount of goals at the end of the season, just to steady the ship.
Maybe like an Adam Lafondra type. Is that what you mean?
Ooh.
Proper goal scorer.
And Eric Sabin, Scott McLeish, Bayo Akinfenwa, that kind of
That's
person.
A lot of different types of footballer in that one sentence.
I know, but every single one of them can score a goal, can't
Mark
they?
Cooper, Neil Grayson.
David Seal.
Jamie Forrester.
John Frayne.
Friend of the show, Chris Freestone.
Derek Asamoah.
Get them all in.
Get them in.
A hybrid.
Put them all in a machine and see what comes out.
Oh dear. To bring it back to some sort of normality, I agree with Danny in terms of I do think we need another defender just to shore it up a bit. And I do think that it will have to be probably a left back more than a central defender.
What about someone that could do both?
Well, we've got Turndog for that, haven't we? But he's more effective in midfield, I think.
We seem to be playing this 3-4-1-2 or 3-4-3 at the minute. We've got the three centre-backs. We don't seem to be playing full-backs. I think Carl seems to have signed three full-backs and just not playing any of them because he's realised that they're not that great.
Joe Martin seems to have been left out in the cold, doesn't he?
He's disappointed.
Well, very good, that's why.
What I mean is, you're quite right, Danny, is that Joe Martin's been injured and then hasn't found his way back into the team. Michael Harriman has just disappeared and just all he does now is wish Neil and Polly good luck vibes to their wedding.
Who's that? Michael Harriman?
Yeah, best fullback in League Two.
Not just Michael Harriman, Mrs. Harriman too.
Oh, did she? Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, she said, popped a message on the Twitter.
Oh, that's lovely, that is. Very nice.
Lovely couple.
Best wife in League Two?
Best wife in League Two. I might ask them on a double date.
That'd be amazing. Can we take the podcast just to watch?
Ooh. Me and my brother Michael Harriman popping out.
But who else have we got that can play fullback? Reece Hall-Johnson?
No.
I just don't think we're playing with them at the minute.
We're just toying with them. Is that what you're thinking?
We're toying with them, yeah. We don't need fullbacks. We've got it covered.
We don't need fullbacks. We've got it covered.
Who needs fullbacks?
Equally as well, I do think, though, if you're looking seriously at what positions you need to fill towards the end of the season and who you're going to bring in January, you need to consider the fact that we are not going to be able to keep Alan McCormack and Charlie Goode completely in our squad without picking up a suspension through the amount of yellow cards or red card.
That is very true.
That's a good shout.
Because we need to be able to fill those positions, because Alan McCormack, I would say, in the next 4 or 5 games will definitely see red and it'll be brilliantly entertaining, but will also cause Keith Girl a bit of a headache. And Charlie Goode will eventually pick up one because he's going to pick up yellow cards.
Hasn't Charlie already served a booking?
Served a booking or served a suspension?
Served a booking suspension.
Yeah, he has.
So the next time he gets one, it'll be 2-game suspension, won't it?
Exactly. That's my point. I don't think it'll be for tackles, though. It will be for dissent, because he just literally screams in referees' faces on a regular basis. And everyone kind of looks at each other like, what is he doing?
Referees are too scared. They're too scared of him to show him a red card for that.
To be fair, I wouldn't show him a red card. I'd be terrified.
I really wish you didn't. Did you see that thing that German player did? Was it a German player who just barged into the opposition manager?
Yeah, I saw that.
I just wish Alan McCormack did that to David Artel on the weekend, because Artel just didn't shut up. I was really hoping McCormack was just going to run over and barge him over and send him down the tunnel.
The one thing that we're kind of maybe all forgetting here is that we have got some fairly decent youth prospects. Jay Williams, for one, just seems to have disappeared off the face of the earth. I know he went out on loan.
He went down my neck of the woods, didn't he? Down the Oval.
Did he?
I'm not sure. He was at
Kettering, wasn't he? And then he got sent off for Kettering, but hasn't featured since.
Could he not get in their squad?
Maybe he's injured.
But that's worrying me a little bit. I mean, if you go back to the start of the season, that a lot of people were saying, well, we were promised more youth and Curl's not playing the youth. I mean, okay, Scott Pollock's had a bit more of an in recently, but Jay Williams got sent out on loan. Morgan Roberts out on loan at the moment. I think he's now at Banbury, is he? He was at Rushden and now he's moved to Banbury.
Yeah, he's with his brother, isn't he? His brother plays for Banbury, yeah.
The key thing here is, will we need to sign people, or will we actually be able to use these players to, you know, fill those gaps for suspensions and things?
I think if we're in the hunt for a playoff place or an automatic place, I think we should use them, because I think going into a team with confidence and a team that's flying, it will really help them. But if things go wrong and we end up the wrong end of the table, it would be a terrible decision because it would just knock their confidence.
I don't know about that, Jeffy, if I'm honest.
Tell me why.
Ivan Toney.
That is a very good point. Well made.
Thank you.
13 million quid. Did you see that? That's what Posh have slapped on him.
That's big fat Fry, isn't it?
I don't think it is Fry. I think it's more Darragh McAntony now, isn't it? He's more the man in charge now. Barry Fry, since he got done for being naughty with his gambling habit, seems to have taken a back seat.
Got done for being naughty.
My Prince Andrew.
I don't know. I think... Doesn't sweat. Chessy, I think actually your point is true. I think Ivan Toney was probably the abnormal, if that makes sense. I think what you're saying is right. Also, to think about the January transfer window, who's to say that we're going to have budget?
Oh, don't say that. You're gonna start people moaning on the hotel end if you say things like that.
Well, no, but like, you know, obviously we've got a cap and stuff, and you can only pay X amount up into whatever you're earning in and all that sort of nonsense, can't you? So who's to say that we're not already maxing that out and that we'd have to ship someone out to bring someone in? You don't know, do you? And also, on top of that, if we are still up and around, you know, the top seven, the top three come January, who's to say that there won't be any interest in any of our players?
I don't think we need wholesale changes.
No, I agree.
I just think we just need like two or three, even if it's low knees, just to come and plug the gaps a little bit. I don't think we need to go mad.
Just a bit of
good point.
Depth.
I think that's a good point about people looking at our players as well, because there's been interest in Williams before, hasn't there? There's undoubtedly going to be interest in some of the other players who people look at. But I think it does seem to be quite a tight-knit unit. So I don't see this squad as any kind of a team that people are necessarily going to be looking at just yet, that are going to be coming and take a closer look at. So I think we might be all right in that sense.
I did see some very, very, very tenuous rumours of Sam Hoskins interesting Shrewsbury.
Don't even start.
It was very, very tenuous, but I did see it mentioned.
Sam Hoskins there.
So I agree with your point, Danny. I think actually just a bit of strengthening or just a bit of strength in depth or extra strength in depth would be nice. But I don't think we certainly don't need wholesale changes. I wouldn't be adverse to a creative, tricky number 10.
Poor Portuguese dribbler.
You're thinking Hildeberto or Magno Vieira?
Oh, you know I am.
I know Magno Vieira was Brazilian, wasn't he?
He was Brazilian, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we've got Bagel, haven't we?
I think we're going to see a massive change in Bagel as well. I think it wants this. If this squad starts firing, and it looks good at the moment, if that carries on, I think Bagel's going to, with that, get a lot of confidence. And I think if he starts coming on and firing, I think we'll be onto a winner there with him, because I think he will grow into this league. At the moment, and in previous months, he's not been able to, because we just haven't really been performing to enable him to do that. But now that squad is really growing in confidence and seems to know what they're doing, I think he'll be able to settle a bit better. I think this is the right time for him to really grow into that player we want him to be and we bought him to be.
And we've got games coming up as well, isn't it? We're just coming up to December. We've still got interest in three competitions.
We're fighting on all fronts.
Still in all the cups. apart from the League Cup. So we've got games to play these players as well, haven't we? And we're going to come up with such a mad schedule in December again that he's going to need to use the squad. And
we've already got, haven't we? Yeah, there's that week, isn't there, when we've got Notts County at home and then we've got Portsmouth and Exeter away in the same week, haven't we?
Yeah.
I reckon we'll stay down. You know, when we play Portsmouth.
No, it's so far away from each other, though. Portsmouth and Exeter are a long way from each other.
Yeah, but what's the point in coming all the way back up to Northampton to then just go back down again? You might as well go halfway, maybe. Play Portsmouth and then...
Chessy's
house. You can set my house if you like.
Alan McCormack. Oh, actually, I don't want to think about this. Imagine? Right, shall we move on real quick? End the post bag.
I'm Chris Hargreaves, and it's all cobblers to me.
If you've got a question for us to debate on, it's all cobblers to me. You can send an email. Send it to itsallcobblers@gmail.com or drop us a message on Twitter or Facebook, where you'll find us by searching @cobblers2me.
Yes, and we have to say sorry that we couldn't get through everything that you sent to us. We had an awful lot. But what we have done is we've added it to a list and we will get round to it at some point. So at some point soon, we'll come round to it. And there's lots of good little bits of debate questions in there, like about rotating goalkeepers and things about water parks at Six Fields and things like that. So we will definitely get to them at some point.
Something about Pele as well.
Yeah, that question needs answering at some point.
I'm Nicky Adams, and it's all Cobblers to me.
On Saturday, the Cobblers welcomed Grimsby to Sixfield for their next League Two encounter. And earlier, I caught up with Mariners fan Chris Kirk. Hi, Chris. Welcome to the podcast.
No problem.
How about we start with Grimsby and how their season started? Obviously, the last couple of weeks been a bit rocky, I suppose you could say, with Michael Jolly getting the sack.
Yeah, you could say that. I mean, it's never a dull moment being a Grimsby Town supporter. It never seems to, you know, settle into a steady ship, really. We had a decent start to the season, really. I think things started sort of falling away a little bit during October. We've had a bit of a rough run, a couple of sort of home defeats, which really have had a big impact on home gates. And yeah, things then weren't looking so great after having a fairly decent start. And then in the last few days, we've also lost our manager. In quite strange circumstances, really. The official statement from the club that it was down to, you know, a run of poor results and that they come to a mutual agreement. But then in the intervening time, a recording has been released on social media, which was following the 4-0 home defeat against Leyton Orient about a month ago. And it's a recording someone had taken. You know, the person who'd done the recording, their identity hasn't been, you know, sort of revealed. But it was someone within the press room after the game. And he went into the press room and just lit up on the local BBC radio reporters. A lot of foul language, accusing them of negativity and almost kind of an anti-bias against the club. Quite a foul-mouthed tirade, really. Quite, you know, quite embarrassing, I think. And I think the radio station made a complaint to the club because at the time the club didn't actually know about it. So that's what started what would have been some disciplinary proceedings. And then the manager's gone. He's almost kind of preempted the result of what the disciplinary hearing would have been and asked for some sort of compromise agreement. So yeah, strange times. I think the support is quite split on things, really, because there were a lot of grumblings about the recent performances and recent results. A lot of fans were saying it was probably time for a change and we hadn't progressed over the last 18 months, whereas a lot of fans felt that he should be given a lot longer because his whole philosophy and the reason he was appointed, because his background was in youth development and youth coaching, and he'd done a lot to bring a lot of our younger players through. At any one time, 3 or 4 academy players involved within our team who've done well over the last year or so. So a lot of fans were thinking it'd be kind of a long-term plan and that you'd be given time to get things right, perhaps in the way that maybe Accrington and Stanley had done in recent years, where they're sort of stuck by someone and it'd take them a while, but they got there in the end. But that's not to be. So now we're back to where we were quite a few times over the last 3 years, really, looking for a new manager.
Looking at the league table, you're more or less where you finished last year. You're in 18th. Last year, you finished 17th. Of course, every single club wants to have progression year on year. That's a given. But we're not even halfway through the season yet. And to be where you finished, I think that still showed that there was signs that you could kick on and you could at least finish maybe 5 places higher than you did the year before. So it was, for me, and I know for maybe other fans looking from the outside in, quite a strange decision. So to hear that it might not have actually been poor performances and poor results the reason for him to actually leave, that maybe makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think he had a decent summer in terms of recruitment, but I think the general consensus was we recruited far better than what we had in the last few windows, and that we were looking at, you know, a bit stronger and could realistically push into the top half of the table. And I think given our budget resources, that's probably, you know, as good as anyone could hope for, with the hope that you might, you know, push up towards the top 7. And the start that we had indicated that may be the case. You know, we brought in a really effective centre forward in James Hansen. He was in great form early in the season, getting plenty of goals and assists, and, you know, the facts and figures were really favourable. And then I don't know whether teams kind of got a little bit wise to us and either cut off the supply line into Hansen, who is an old-fashioned target man, or got players around him so that he wasn't able to sort of bully defences and get on the end of crosses, that we then looked a little bit one-dimensional and there wasn't really much of a plan B, and we weren't able to play the game on the deck effectively enough to circumnavigate that. So I think fans were a bit miffed and a bit impatient about that. But, you know, I think it was a blip in form, really. I think it probably would have picked up at some point. So now we're in this strange position of looking for a new manager where the names that are being bandied about aren't really filling Grimsby fans with a lot of hope and confidence. I think the top of most people's list would be someone like Paul Tisdale because of the success that he's had at Exeter and then NK Dons until recently. But I think realistically, having the resource to bring him in and persuade him to move, you know, to the north and that kind of thing, it's probably not going to happen. So I think quite often, as it often is for us, it'll be a name out of left field, perhaps someone who most fans aren't expecting. The top name is actually another ex-Northampton player, I think, that's been banded around at the moment, Chris Hargreaves, who started his career at Grimsby. He's a Grimsby lad who's, you know, he's well thought of, and I think he's works for Bristol Rovers at the moment within their youth academy. So I don't know, the thinking behind that would be along the similar lines to what it was when they brought Michael Jolly in, as someone who's perhaps slightly more modern in their thinking, has got youth and youth development and coaching at the heart of their skill set, but isn't really that experienced in terms of managing, you know, managing a football club. So we'll see how that goes.
Bit of news that's come out on Monday morning about an ex-player of yours, Ben Davis, stepping up to be a first team coach to help out Anthony Limbrick and Dave Moore.
He's on the club's payroll as an academy coach. And yeah, he was really well thought of and was obviously massively experienced, got, I don't know, 600 games under his belt. It seems like a fairly sound appointment, really. He's going to bring a lot more experience to the coaching staff for however long that may be. We've got a big cup game on Wednesday night against Newport, so that'll be a little bit of a kind of a test for them to see how we get on there. But yeah, I think in terms of the Northampton game, you know, it's probably, I don't know, maybe is it unlikely? Probably unlikely that we'd have a new manager in place by then. And we never seem to get that bounce. Like, clubs quite often get a bounce, don't they, when they get a temporary manager brought in. That never seems to happen for us for one reason or another. So I would say, you know, going into the Northampton game, the Northampton would be heavy, heavy favourites for that, because we've not won. In poor form, and the club's in a little bit of a mess at the moment, to be honest.
Well, let's talk about this upcoming game on Saturday then, down at Sixfields. Obviously, there is a bit of history between the Cobblers and the Mariners, what with Wembley in 1998, and then a few years later, us spoiling your promotion party in the last minute with an equaliser at Boundary Park.
To be honest, we spoilt it long before that game. we messed up badly in the second half of the season and lost that form.
So this Saturday then, what are you actually thinking? Obviously, you said there you are in poor form. Your last win came four games ago, I think. You're struggling a little bit, and maybe that is partly why Michael Jolly ended up leaving. But at the same time, you know, results do matter. So are you expecting any kind of positive result on Saturday against us?
You never know. We'd actually drawn our last two games. And I think after a couple of really bad defensive performances, we went to Cambridge and he played a very defensive kind of formation, just soaked up the pressure from Cambridge. They had, you know, huge amount of possession. We actually probably had a couple of chances on the counter-attack to nick it right at the end. So I think he kind of conceded that we needed to tighten up and was happy to take a draw there in the end. In the cup against Newport, we got a goal ahead, but then seemed to settle for that rather than going for kind of a killer. And, you know, inevitably our ex-player came back, Padraig Amond, and got an equaliser. So, yeah, we're not really going into certainly the Newport game, and then obviously Northampton. We're not going into it with any great form, but you're going to have a temporary, or, you know, it'd be the assistant manager, Anthony Limbrick, that'll be selecting the team. He might have a different take on things. I think a lot of fans are hoping he'll probably go for a more attacking team selection. But yeah, I mean, it's not that long ago that we went to Exeter, who were unbeaten and flying at that point. We went and beat them 3-1 in their own backyard. It kicked on from there, and I think that was another frustration that our fans had, was that team selection there seemed to work really well. And then the next game, he tinkered with things and changed it, really. And a lot of fans were sort of querying, well, we've just been and beaten the best team in the league 3-1. Why have you changed the team? You know, so little things like that perhaps contributed to what's happened anyway. Could work in our favour, a bit of an unknown quantity, because the temporary manager is going to have his own way of doing things maybe, and might have to keep Northampton's manager guessing a little bit when we go into that game.
So if I can just push you for a bit of a prediction then, Chris, what would you say the outcome of Saturday's game will be?
The most likely result would be a Northampton win, I would have thought. Probably a lot of fans would probably take a draw at the minute. We're not that confident, not really confident in the way that we're playing at the minute. But I think the cup replay game will give us a bit of an indication about the way things are going to go with the temporary management team and how they want to play it. I think we just want it to be a bit more attacking and not so passive, and letting teams dictate how games go and sort of impose ourselves a little bit more on teams like we were earlier in the season, and it was working, and we had a great mixture of sort of physicality and directness and sort of pace as well in the team. We've lost that direction a little bit recently.
Okay, Chris, well, thanks very much for talking to us, and good luck in your cup replay, and then good luck for the rest of the season after Saturday, shall we say.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks a lot.
Grimsby fan Chris Kirk there. You'll find his handle in the show notes, so you can join in the conversation with him on Twitter. Although, can you guys try not to mistake him for the official Grimsby Twitter feed like you did with the Crew Alex Fancast guys last week, please? Time for some facts then, and it's over to Neil for all you never needed to know about the town of Grimsby and their football club. Go on, Neil, take it away.
Lots and lots of facts this week. I will start with where Grimsby play. Where do you think Grimsby play?
Thorpe Park.
Thorpe Park in Guildford.
Not quite, Danny.
Taunton.
I mean, you're getting further away.
That's where I live. Well, nearly.
No, they famously play in Hartlepool, which many people aren't aware of.
Monkey hangers. Yeah. Right.
I've got some brilliant Grimsby facts, and I've also got a special treat for you this week.
Oh, is it a fishy one?
It's not a fishy one.
Biscuits?
Nothing to do with biscuits.
Shame.
Did you know there is a relatively famous song called Grimsby? Do you know who recorded it in 1974?
Was it Captain Birdseye?
Nope, he was too busy pilfering fish.
Was it Elton John?
It was Elton John.
It sounds very Elton John-like to me.
Great knowledge of Elton John, Danny. Brilliant.
My knowledge of Elton is second to none.
It is second to none. And did you know that Grimsby once held a very unlikely record? Any guesses on that record?
Was it Elton John's record that he just recorded?
It was a different record.
I know what it was. I know what it was.
Go on, Jeffy.
It was the latest opportunity to bottle a playoff place.
I was going to say the record for most premature pyrotechnics.
No, nobody's even close yet.
Oh.
I'll give you it.
Oh.
Yep, go on.
Is it most fridges filled with fish?
It's surprisingly not fish related.
Oh.
That somewhat disappointed me.
Is it Ryan Gilligan related?
It's not Ryan Gilligan related. It is. Grimsby is well known as the centre of the UK's fishing industry, right? We all know that. Grimsby is known for fish. We've had lots of fish right. jokes. There's lots of fish bants going around. That's fine. However, in 1998, the same year that England lost to Argentina on penalties in France 98, Grimsby.
We lost Grimsby.
Hmm. Yeah, we did. Grimsby made more pizzas than any other area of Europe, including Italy.
Really?
Fact.
Why?
Was that because of the World Cup defeat on penalties?
I don't know. That's linked.
Is that linked?
I don't know if that's linked.
Celebrating their Division 2 playoff success?
I don't know. I don't have the answer. I just got that fact. I don't know.
Very odd.
Very odd indeed. Very odd
But
indeed.
I enjoyed it.
Grimsby was also mentioned in the Doomsday book.
I can imagine why.
If you visit Grimsby, you'll understand why Doomsday works for Grimsby. Now, I've got some other facts for you. I don't know whether you're going to let me have these, but it's not actually Grimsby related.
Well, why change a habit of a lifetime, Neil?
Well, during my prep for this little segment, I do a little bit of prep, which entails me putting myself on mute while you guys are chatting and searching for Grimsby facts or whichever town or team it is playing. As I was searching Grimsby facts, Grimsby Live, which is a website about Grimsby and, you know, the paper and that area, they've actually done 8 facts you never knew about Wetherspoons. There is a dress code for Wetherspoons. Do you know what that dress code is?
It's
black and white.
Oof. A British flag draped around your shoulders.
No, the dress code for Wetherspoons
Brexit
is
pamphlets.
On their website. It states, customers are requested to remain fully clothed throughout the visit.
Right.
Isn't that, though, a direct result of our mental heatwave a couple of years ago when people just literally were just walking into pubs in, like, shorts and everyone was like, what is going on? Because we lost our heads a little bit because of the World Cup, because we all thought we were going to win the World Cup and that ended badly.
I think it's probably more to do with the fact that it's a family restaurant and children might be present.
Yeah, you don't want to be having a cheap meal out with your kids and then see Danny running down the bar with his wang out. You don't want to see that. Nobody needs that, do they?
You don't want to see that, no.
Did you also know...
We leave that in Portugal, don't we?
Yeah, we leave that for Portugal, yeah. Did you know you could also get married in Wetherspoons?
Yes, I did.
Do you know
how much
it costs?
Not a lot. About the same as a pint of Carlsberg.
Depends if you're going for the large wedding or the extra large wedding.
Or it depends if it's a Tuesday.
and whether you have just true, yeah. Like pudding on the side.
Wedding Wednesdays.
Wedding Wednesdays. It's $3,000, and you get an all-inclusive package. I've got a couple of other facts for you.
Are these still Wetherspoons related?
It's all Wetherspoons. No, this is Wetherspoons related. There's also, if anyone's interested, there's a very, very good Twitter account called @spoons_carpets, and they reward the Wetherspoons carpet of the week, which is worth checking out.
If you'd like to actually check that out, they also released a book, and when I worked for Wetherspoons, we were all given a book by Wetherspoons as a thank you for working for them. No word of a lie.
Also, did you know, this is my final Wetherspoons fact. There is more, but I won't bore you too long. But Camra, you know Camra, Campaign for Real Ale, they do a good beer guide.
Yeah.
Grimsby Wetherspoons, in their Good Beer Guide 2020, ranked them at #2.
Do you know, Watch It wins that nearly every year.
I'm not sure you spoken English there, Jeffy. What was that?
Watch It wins that nearly every year. Yeah, that's where I live.
Oh, right. That makes perfect sense. Sorry, I thought you just made up a name or something.
No, Watch It wins Camera Pub of the Year nearly
every
year.
Oh, there we go. So one for the real ale drinkers. Next time when we visit Grimsby, visit the Wetherspoons, you'll be fine. Make sure you wear your clothes. And when you visit Chessie for a night,
you can visit the 8 pubs that we've got.
Well, I'll tell you what, that sounds brilliant.
8 pubs, and there's only about 5,000 of us. It's absolutely brilliant.
Welcome to the Somerset podcast.
Yeah.
I've got one more Wetherspoons fact.
Come on, then.
You can book a hotel stay inside Wetherspoons in Grimsby.
Was that your fact?
Yeah, that's what I've got.
Can't you do that everywhere?
No, you can't. So you can do it in 46 locations.
Good. Right, then. Moving on.
Do you want some quick famous people?
Yes, go for it, Danny.
I'll run through them really quickly. Peter Mars Cowling, long-standing bass player in the Pat Travers band. I'm sure you all know him. Amy Monkhouse, the lawn bowler. Kevin and Joanne Clifton off of Strictly. Michelle Dotrice, she played, you remember, oh, Betty, that one. She played Betty. Some others do have them. And Neil, this will be your favourite one, Matthew Stiff.
What's old Stiffy famous for?
Do you want to take a guess?
No, don't do it.
Yes, I absolutely do. Is he a fluffer?
Oh, no. He's please, not, if you're listening and you're under 18, do not go and Google what that is.
Everyone goes to Google it. Do you want me to just give people a second just to go Google it? Because that's what they do.
Charles can interject some 70s porn music while we just let people go and search.
Coming down the aisle.
Right, you lot have lost the plot. Pull yourselves together.
He's an opera singer. Oz Matthew Stiff.
Pull your Stiffy together, lads. Come on.
Matthew Stiff's an opera singer. The end.
Good.
Do you want some the manager odds, Charles?
Oh, yes. Let's do some manager odds live from the brothers' household.
Manager odds. So, obviously, Gary Megson's 1-4 favourite.
It's going to be at Sixers on Saturday.
I've got a feeling we might see him. Kevin Nolan is actually evens as well, so that'd be fun for him. There, Robbie Stockdale, 12-1. You get Paul Tisdale, 16-1. Interestingly, 20-1, Robbie Fowler.
Really?
Yeah. Neil Warnock, 25-1. Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank, our old friend.
Can I just say, that's very short odds for Neil Warnock. I don't see him going all the way down to League
there's
2.
There's some sort of connection in there, I think, with Warnock and Grimsby. I don't know if he started his career or something there, but
okay.
He seems to have managed all the teams in up north, doesn't he?
Yeah, all of them.
All of them, yeah.
I do think that they'd be really foolish to not get Paul Tisdale in, because that man is a magician. What he can do with no money is ridiculous.
That is true. Mahatma Gandhi, 40-1, by the way. Get him in.
Get Mahatma Gandhi in.
Can't pass that opportunity up.
Get him in.
So what about the game then? Chessie, how are you feeling about Grimsby's visit to Six Hills on Saturday?
More confident than I would have been a couple of weeks ago, I have to say. I think it will be one of those that could go either way for us. I think the Cobblers are going to go one way or the other now. I think we're either going to kick on and we're going to do a really good job and we're going to start really slaughtering teams, or we're just going to fall apart and the wheels will come off. But I would like to think, based on last week's performance, I think we will show quite a lot of strength and we will really give a good game to Grimsby, and I think we will be victorious.
Yeah, so we haven't made predictions yet, but there's some facts that you might need to know before you do go ahead. So our all-time record against Grimsby is fairly even, actually. So we've won 16 games compared to their 13 with 9 draws. Last year saw two of those draws, two all at Sixfields and 0-0 up at Blundell Park. Grimsby are currently 18th in League 2. They've got 19 points from their games. They've won 5 of them and lost 6 so far. They've got a goal difference of 0, having scored and conceded 20 goals each. And their last game was actually a couple of weeks ago in the FA Cup when they drew 1-1 at home to Newport. They've not had a game in the league for about 3 weeks now because they've had a couple of postponements. So they were supposed to play Newport in the league at the weekend, but dodgy pitch and all that, with all that horrible weather that we had. And then last weekend's game with Plymouth was postponed. This is away at Plymouth. It was postponed after strong winds caused significant damage to the Home Park Stadium roof. And so, due to health and safety, they had to call the game off 3 hours before kickoff, as they were not allowed to open the stadium to let anybody in.
All sounds a bit fishy, Charles.
The Newport game's actually got international call-ups on the official postponement reason.
Oh, really?
I'm trying to figure that one out. Well, Grimsby and Newport have got
I apologise to Grimsby and Newport. Maybe Newport had a few Welsh players called up for under 21.
I was just about to say that. They've probably...
Wales.
They might have some rogue Finnish.
Like the crew keeper?
Yes.
Will Jaskalainen?
Yes. Yeah, he didn't. But was he? How come he didn't get in the Finland team?
Because he ain't very good.
But yeah, so Grimsby might actually be feeling quite fresh compared to the Cobblers. That could pose a bit of a danger. What do you think, Danny?
Or they could just be shell-shocked by our intense pressing game and just be 3-0 down before 20 minutes is up again. I saw a stat today that we've got that the highest amount of time in the lead or something.
700
in the whole of the football. 700 and something minutes that we've been in the
whole of football.
In the whole of football, yeah.
The whole of football ever
in world football, yeah. No one's ever beat it again. So that does make you think we are starting well and holding on to it. So I think we're going to come out the blocks. I'll come to my prediction later when you ask for it, Charles. I'm not like some people around here who just jump in with their premature predictions.
Well, before we get the predictions, Neil, any thoughts on Grimsby's visit to Sixfields? Your first game as a married man.
True. Easy victory, Charles. This is a simple game. I'm not worried at all, actually. Not at all.
I'm a little bit worried about James Hansen and Bop himself. Gives me the Wembley shudders every time I see him.
Good. So let's get predictions then. Starting with you, Jesse. What are you going with?
I think we're going to win 3-1.
Confident. Goal scorers?
Andy Williams, 2. Charlie Good, 1.
Okay, interesting. Neil?
5-0, Cobblers.
All different goal scorers, or is one person going to walk away with the match ball?
I think Verdane is going to leap like a salmon and score a header.
Nice pun.
Thank you. I think Andy Williams is going to get a couple. And then I think we will see a goal from the animal himself.
Oh, what a sight that will be.
Wouldn't that be something? What's he going to do when he scores? It's going to be amazing.
I imagine. Do you remember, was it Tamuri Ketsbaya that scored for Newcastle and
yes,
booted the advertising board in anger? I imagine it'll be something like that.
Probably snapped the goal in half.
I actually was thinking the other day that earlier on when we were talking about Paul Anderson's two-footed lunge celebration, that maybe the animal might be a bit annoyed with him for nicking his celebration, because that's what I imagine. That's what I imagine Alan McCormack would have actually wanted to have done, was just lunge two-footed at the corner flag or something, and now Ando's stolen his thunder.
He's just going to go one better and just do a two-footed tackle on the east stand.
Or he'll just take the corner flag out and start parading around with it.
Was that all 5 of your goal scorers, Neil? I lost count.
I can't remember, but if not, then just imagine that the animal gets another.
Good. Love it. I'm going to go with a comfortable 3-0 victory, and all 3 goals are going to come from Nicky Adams.
Blimey.
Yeah, big prediction. Ooh. Gone big this
all
week.
All 3?
All 3. Hat trick.
Something I've noticed, you know, when sometimes, well, when we win a game and the players will quite often tweet, great to win again, etc. And then they'll use a couple of emojis and sometimes they'll use the tree to say 3 points.
Yeah.
As in 3 points. I don't get it.
Maybe it's Alan McCormack and the way he says it because he's Irish.
Oh, that makes, yes. It all comes back to the animal, doesn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. All revolves around him.
Danny, what are your predictions for Saturday?
I'm going to go for 2-1. A tight affair. I think we're going to race into a 2-0 lead through the turn dog.
Oh.
And Chris Lines. He's going to curl one in out of nowhere. And then Ludvig Oman, the Swedish defender, is going to pop up with a goal for them. But we'll hold on. And we'll be rolling into December like Ed Sheeran into a Weatherspoons. Fully clothed, obviously.
All quite positive predictions then, which means that we're obviously going to lose. So that's it from us at It's All Cobblers to Me. Thanks to our Grimsby fan, Chris Kirk, and to you guys for listening as well. We'll be back with more Cobblers chat next week. But in the meantime, keep sending us your thoughts to us via Facebook, Twitter, and our email address, itsallcobblers@gmail.com. Say goodbye, everyone.
Bye, Ash.
It was Christmas Eve, babe.
Stiff.
It's All Cobblers to Me is a Vibrant Sound Media production for the fans of Northampton Town Football Club. Support the podcast on Patreon by joining the It's All Cobblers to Me fan club. Every month, you'll receive access to exclusive bonus content, such as our Meet the Staff series, hear our player interviews before anyone else, and be invited to regular meetups. By joining the fan club, you'll be helping us to continue our sponsorship of NTFC women's player Abby Bruin and enable us to keep the podcast and all our other content going to the high standards you expect. To join the fan club, go to patreon.com/cobblers to me.